coming out of where you're at and going into where God is sending you. It's important that you realize those words and how important they are for you and I as Christians, as children of God, as the called of God. And if you will turn over there to Psalm 40, verses 1 through 5, I'll read them to you. I want to read them out of the Amplified Version, and then I'm going to read them again out of the ESV. I waited patiently and expectantly for the Lord, and he inclined to me and heard my cry. He drew me up out of a horrible pit, a pit of tumult and of destruction, out of the miry clay, froth and slime, and set my feet upon a rock, steadying my steps and establishing my goings. And he has put a new song in my mouth, a song of praise to our God. Many shall see and fear, revere and worship, and put their trust and confident reliance in the Lord. Blessed, happy, fortunate, to be envied, is the man who makes the Lord his refuge and trust, and turns not to the proud or to the followers of false gods. Many, O Lord, are the wonderful works which you have done, and your thoughts towards us. No one can compare with you. If I should declare and speak of them, they are too many to be numbered. And out of the ESV it says this, I waited patiently for the Lord. He inclined to me and heard my cry. He drew me up from a pit of destruction, out of the miry bog, and set my feet upon a rock, making my steps secure. He put a new song in my mouth, a song of praise to our God. Many will see and fear and put their trust in the Lord. Blessed is the man who makes the Lord his trust, who does not turn to the proud, to those who go astray after a lie. You have multiplied, O Lord, my God, your wondrous deeds and your thought towards us. None can be compared with you. I proclaim and tell of them, yet they are more than can be told. It's an amazing thing when we think about what just those verses express to our life. I take Psalm 40, verses 1 through 5, very personal as God speaking to my own heart. And I expect, and I would not be surprised if you did not do the same, because we've all been taken from one place and brought into another place when we gave our hearts to the Lord. I've said this for so many years, and I don't find it difficult to repeat it, is that if you're still the same you were before you got saved as you today, then I would question whether or not you really met the Lord. There is change that comes, and that change brings us to realize that great things happen to those who believe. Great things happen to you and I, that when we believe. We could probably all stand tonight and testify over and over again of the miraculous, of the things that have happened in our life. Maybe individually you could sit here tonight and think about what God has taken you from and where you are right now. You could testify of the goodness of the Lord in your life. He's healed you, he's saved you, he's sanctified you, he's filled you with his Holy Ghost, he's provided for you when others would not provide for you, God provided for you. When others said no, God said yes. When others treated you as though you were somebody on the outside, God brought you into the inside. You see, God is a good God, and great things happen to those that believe. Praise brings spiritual results. You know, oftentimes when we worship, we have to understand it's not just that we're worshiping up into the air and there is something that, like, we're praising a ceiling or a light bulb, or we're looking straight ahead and praising some sort of a strip of letters and words that we see that we're singing, but we're actually praising a holy God. And praise brings spiritual results to our life. You know, I want you to do something this week, if you don't mind, and please, please categorize this and make a spot for it in your day. Oftentimes we go through a day and there's some difficult times in our day. And, you know, it just gets rough sometimes. Sometimes things come at you, you don't even realize they're there. What I think the best thing to do at that time is just take a moment and begin to praise God. Well, you know, Pastor, I can't do that. I may be on the job. I may be before people. I may be in a place where praise isn't to be sane. You can praise God in your heart. You can begin to sing a song in your spirit and begin to praise Him for who He is and what He's done for you, how He's provided for you, the blessings that He's brought into your life, and then the great expectation, because you waited with expectation for the Lord of what He has promised you to come about. Don't forget your expectation. Don't ever let your hope down. Always raise up to the place where you can say to yourself, you know what? I expect God to do something. I expect God to heal me. I expect God to provide for me. I expect God to speak to my spirit. You see, I think the best thing, and I know that I'm going to say something here that is very important, and I've seen it in the church on the opposite side, but I've seen some pretty poor attitudes in the church. After God has saved and touched and healed and provided, people get a bad attitude sometimes. But what I've also seen in the church is an attitude of gratitude, where people are really happy with what God did. And they walk with that attitude of gratitude. They're thankful that God has done something. You know, I'll never get past the point that God saved me when I didn't deserve it. I can't get past the point that God healed me when I didn't deserve it. I can't get past the point that God filled me with the Holy Ghost. I just can't get past that point when I didn't deserve it. I can't get past the point that God called me to be a pastor, an evangelist, a preacher of His word. I just can't get past that when He could have chose somebody else. He chose me. You know, and I get a kick out of God's, I call His spiritual sense of humor. How He'll just bring something about and cause us to just laugh in the spirit and laugh out loud that He has touched our lives and healed us and provided for us in such a way that it's magnificent. Hearing the Word of God, in other words, creates faith in our life. You and I, if we'll listen to the Word of God, it'll create faith. Hearing is an important part of our walk with God. It's important that we understand that having the Word placed into our life, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. We have an opportunity to understand just what God is saying to our life. Speaking the Word nurtures our faith. When we actually speak the Word out and we actually confess the Word, you know, I see a lot of people confessing complaints, confessing criticisms, confessing some sort of a dissension or a word of dissension instead of speaking God's word. My God will help you. My God is the King of kings and the Lord of glory. Our God's name is wonderful, Prince of Peace, Counselor, Almighty God. Speaking God's word and declaring that He is the creator of our life and speaking out the words that when someone says, you know, you look awful sick, you can say, but He's going to send forth His word and I'm going to be healed. Because He is the God who heals me. We can say that if we live these words of obedience unto God, that He's going to bless our coming in and our going out. We can look to the hill, whence cometh our help, and our help cometh from God. He never sleeps, nor He slumbers. He's always watching out for us. We can count on the fact that no evil will befall us and no plague will come near our dwelling. That we can reside under the shadow of the pinions of the wing of the Almighty God. We have all these words that we can speak out of our life and knowing that. And doing the word activates faith. You know, I love it when James talks about the effect of if someone who hears the word and doesn't do anything is like the person who goes to the mirror and sees himself and then forgets what he looks like after he walks away from it. We have to understand that our doing the word, acting out the word, being kind, being considerate, being gentle, hearing someone that's going through a distress or a bad time and going and taking care of them. You know, isn't it wonderful that the Good Samaritan did that for that man that was beaten up and left by the side of the road, but yet the priest and the Levite and all those folks coming in and out of temple, and I added some people there to that just to kind of refresh our mind that oftentimes we walk right by somebody in need, And there's somebody that isn't even part of the faith, walks right up to them and ministers to them and helps them. When we should live out our life, even if somebody is not in need, if we want to bless someone by walking up and saying, and I just want to tell you that God loves you today. I'm glad you're here. Thank you for being who you are, being part of what's going on. And then coming into the Word matures faith. When we actually grow in the Word, our faith matures. When we get into the Word and we begin to allow it to dissect us. I heard a man say one time, I go to the Bible and I dissect the Bible to see if it's right. And I said right back to him, no, you don't dissect the Word. The Word dissects you. It tears you down, it breaks you down, and it rebuilds you into something better than what you were before the breakdown. He begins to minister to your life. He begins to bring you into something that's great in your life. So when we look at that, faith happens to, or great things happen to people that believe, we have to look at is faith is having a sincere belief in the Word of God. I believe every word that's in that Bible. If God said He's going to provide, I believe it. If God said He's going to forgive sin, I believe it. If God said He's going to fight my battles, I believe it. I believe if God said He is going to heal, I believe He will. I know He can. I simply believe He will. And I really believe that. And I believe that God will speak to your heart. The Bible says that He will speak to you. And He will speak to you. The Bible says that if whatever you ask in Jesus' name, the Father will do it. I believe that. The Bible says we can bind things in heaven and they'll be bound on earth. We can loose things from heaven, they'll be loosed on earth. I believe that. That's what the Bible says. I believe that God answers prayer. I believe that we're going to go to heaven. I believe that one day there'll be a rapture. I believe that we may go through some trials and tribulations, but the Bible says that He never leaves us nor forsakes us. Hebrews 13:8. He is always there with us. He ministers to us. I believe that there's angels that encampeth around us and delivers out of all our troubles. I believe that when we trust in the Lord, God will be with us. I believe that He heals all our diseases and He has delivered us from all our iniquities. I believe that what it says there in the Bible, it's very clear that God loves us, and the Bible says that God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believeth on Him shall not perish but have everlasting life. I believe the Bible says that He will perform a work in you and continue it until that great day. I believe that God will reach into our lives and instruct us. I believe He causes us to praise. I believe He causes us to worship. I believe He causes us to read His Word, and we understand that there is a sincere belief in the Word of God. And I believe that having the sight of things not seen is part of our life too. We have to see things before they come. We have to believe that they're going to come. Even though it may not look like it. It may not look like it's ever going to happen. It may look like, you know, this is just impossible. Nothing is impossible to God. Nothing is impossible to God. If we just trust Him. And I love the Bible because it says, is anything too hard for the Lord? And no, it's not. God will bring it to pass. You say, well, I can't believe it. I just don't see it. I've been praying. Don't ever give up. The devil wants you to give up, give in, give out. Throw it down, kick it aside, and never believe again. But God wants you to keep going, keep moving forward, keep trusting, keep believing, keep hoping, keep expectancy in your heart, and God will bring it to pass, praise God, into your life. I believe that with all my heart. And in having the trust to grasp the invisible, to embrace it. How do you grasp anything that's invisible? You just embrace it as though it's there, and you trust that God is promised that He's going to save your child. He's going to heal your body. He's going to provide for you a new job. He's going to provide for you something that somebody has taken from you, or you didn't see it coming and all of a sudden it's there. God will bring the provision into your life. It's where you sit down and you say, well, I don't know what I'm going to do now. It's all over. You just confessed your destiny. It's all over. I don't know what I'm going to do now. It's better to stand up and praise God and say, God, no matter what's going on, I'm not able to take care of this, but I know You can. I know You will, because You promised that for me. Praise God. You have spoken and it's going to happen. You've written it and it's going to happen. And I like what it says in Hebrews 11 and 6. And without faith, it's impossible to please him. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and he rewards those who seek him. Secondly, there is faith procured by hearing the word of God. We literally find that in our life. It's procured. It's brought into our life. Whenever I hear the Bible, I get strengthened. Whenever I hear preaching, I get strengthened. Whenever I see somebody excited about the word and excited about what they believe in, it strengthens me. What doesn't strengthen me is a bunch of folks sitting around saying, I don't know. This can't really ever happen. No, this isn't it. Can never be there. That doesn't strengthen me. It discourages me. It gets me to feel pretty bad. But when people are there saying, you know what? It may look like this now, but it's not going to be like that tomorrow. You know, tomorrow's another day. And I love it when people say, I broke the rear view mirror off my life. I don't look anymore to the rear. I look through the front windshield at all times. I don't need to look through there in the past and see my failures, frustrations, futilities. I don't need to see any of those things. My fears, not at all. What I see in front of me is the success that God has said is mine. The fortune that God says is mine. I'm not talking a fortune of money. I'm talking the fortune of his presence and the abundant life that he promises and what is ours that we can have and no one can take from us. The Bible says nothing can separate us from the love of God. Amen. Not height, nor depth, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor death. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. The Bible says that we are overcomers by the testimony of our lips, by the blood of the Lamb, and we don't love our life even as unto death. We always are caused to triumph through Christ Jesus, and all the promises of God are yea and amen in him through us. Amen. We have the ability to praise and to worship and to trust him and to know who he is by receiving the word. You know, not only do we want to hear it, we need to receive it. You know, there's a lot of times I preach the gospel, and I preached it in a lot of areas, in a lot of places, in a lot of states in outside the United States. And I'm telling you, there are people, sometimes you're preaching, and they're not receiving. They may be hearing it, but they're not in the room. They're not receiving anything. They're just looking like, I don't know why I'm even here. I don't say anything back, but in my mind as I'm preaching, I'm saying the same thing. Why are you here? You know, and I'm just saying to you right now that we have to understand the ability to receive the word. In other words, when Jesus spoke about the sower, he said, some fall on stony ground and they don't take root. Some fall with thorns and dirt. They don't take root. Some fall where there's very little soil. They don't take root. The devil comes along and steals it. There's no care. They have care to the world. But some fall on a ground that's fertile and the seed goes in and it takes root. The seed of the word needs to be received into your life so it can take root and you can grow in that and God can bless you through it. Amen. And by spiritually ingesting the word, ingesting means you take it in. You spiritually understand what God is speaking to your heart. There's always something in a sermon that speaks to me. Whether I'm speaking it or whether I'm hearing it. There's always something that all of a sudden the Holy Spirit sets off this like light in my heart saying, that was for me. I like that. Praise God. I'm going to take that and I'm going to use that. The challenge to every preacher is to be able to preach to every heart, in every chair, in every place. The challenge is to be able to speak a word, even though it may be a general sermon, but that word will have something for someone that's listening to what they have to say. Faith delivers, thirdly. What doubt cannot, faith can. What worry will not, faith will. And what fear does not, faith does. Amen. You have to understand how beautiful and what we have to know about faith. So in other words, what doubt cannot, what worry will not, what fear does not, faith does. Faith will. And faith can. It's there. It's part of our life. We have to believe that. But we can worry faith right out of our life. We can fear to where we can't move. And we can literally doubt to where God is like not even wanting to react because we got so much doubt, there's no room for faith. We have to believe God. You know, I may not see it, but I believe it. I may not be able to look around the corner, but God says when I get around it, it's going to be there. I'm seeing it before I get there. Praise God. I believe what God says He's going to do, He's going to do right here at this church. I believe what He's going to do in the Bay Area. I believe what God said He's going to produce, He will produce. If He says revival's coming, friend, you may not see it now, but one day you'll see a cloud like the size of a man's hand coming, and the rain of revival will come into your life, and you will be able to shout the victory, hallelujah, to the Lamb. Praise God. I like the story in 2 Kings where the starving people who were there decided, you know, we're not going to stay here at the gate and starve. We're going to move out. We're going to go into the camp where they are. And whether we get killed or not, we're not going to stay here and starve. When they got to the camp, no one was alive. Amen. They took all the spoils and brought it back and shared it in the city. I want to tell you something. Sometimes when you feel you're in a place where you're starving, you need to get up and go where you think you can't get it done and know that God will prepare it before you get there, and you will be fed and blessed and nourished and brought into the very place of God and understand His will for your life.
Amen.
Praise brings spiritual results. You know, that's what I'm talking about. Praise will bring a spiritual result into your life. I have praised till joy comes. Amen. I have praised when the rain has fallen till the sunshine comes through. I have praised when the cupboards were empty and they were full. I have praised where the gas tank didn't have any gas in it, but it got me to point B. I have praised singing praises to God and watching God heal and strengthen. Praise brings spiritual results. Praise is prayer which can be sung. The Psalms are songs of praise. The Psalms that we read are actually songs that David played out in an open pasture, and his audience was the sheep. But he just played that harp and sang unto the Lord our God. Amen. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He leads me beside still waters. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me down this path of righteousness, and He restoreth my soul. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me. Praise God. And, you know, you can go on and understand that He is there with you. His rod and His staff, they comfort you. He prepares a table for you in the presence of your enemy. He anoints your head with oil, and your cup runneth over. And surely goodness and mercy shall follow you all the days of your life, and you will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. My God, that's the best rock and roll song from heaven I've ever heard. It really works. It rocks my soul, and it rolls me all over the place when I think about what God has done and what He wants to do for us and how He's always there for us. Praise is a position of warfare. Moses against the Amalekites. When he praised, they won. When he put his hands down, the Amalekites won. You want the enemy to be defeated? Praise God. You want the enemy to get back off your kids? Start to praise God. You want the enemy to get off your finances? Begin to praise God. If you want the enemy to touch your life, praise God. Not to touch your life, begin to praise God. Understand that God responds to praise, and victory comes through praise. Somebody praise Him in the house tonight just for a moment. Praise is a posture of confidence. David against Goliath. He went out there with a posture of confidence. When you praise, don't praise like, I don't know how to do this. Don't get mad at me, devil. I'm going to praise. Get up there and praise with confidence. You're praising the King of Kings and the Lord of Glory, the God of our salvation, the one that has spoken into your life, the one that breathed to your life, the one that stated to you that you are something great. You are a child of the King. You belong to the family of God. You have the right to go into the throne of grace boldly. You have the knowledge of you are a child of God by the spirit of adoption, not by the spirit of fear, whereby you can cry out, Abba, Father, and every day you wake up, the Holy Ghost brings witness into your heart that you are a son or a daughter of the living God, and you are not anymore indebted to the flesh. You're indebted to the Holy Ghost of the living God. Praise God. He took you out of corruption into incorruption. Praise God. He took you out of the grave into life. He took the stinger of sin away and brought in the blessings of mercy, grace, holiness, power, and faith into your life that you can move forward in the grace and the greatness of His will. Amen.
Amen.
results which will encourage the heart. Every time I pray, I always get encouraged. You know, troubles seem to grow strangely dim when we come into the presence of who He is. It's wonderful to realize that results will cause the soul to rejoice. Sometimes I wonder, well, how come people don't get happy in church anymore? Then I realize that they've not been praising. They just come in all down and they leave down because they're so used to being down. But let me tell you, if you just praise God, if you just worship God, and if you just go, I'm feeling pretty good, you know, and I'm praising the King of Kings. And the enemy can't handle it when you praise God. The Bible declares that the devil flees at the name of Jesus. He goes. He's not anywhere around. I like what J.B. Phillips said. At the name of Jesus, the devil flees, and they even have enough sense to tremble. And let me tell you something. We have to know the effect of what God is in our life. We have to know that He's our King. He's our source of life. He's our sustainer. He stabilizes everything in our life. He keeps us steady upon that walk on the rock. And He gives us a foundation that will never break. Results that will cause the mind to be renewed. I tell you, praise makes your mind feel better too. Sometimes you get mindless because you're so mindful. You know, and all of a sudden you begin to praise and all that stuff lifts off of you, the worries and the doubts and the enemy's been dictating to you and all this stuff and how am I going to pay this bill and how I'm going to pay that bill and what about this payment and that payment and oh, I can't believe that somebody, they use this card to do this and now I'm going to come up with that and oh my gosh, I didn't. You know what? The devil will work on you forever. By the time you get to the bank, you're so broke, the bank's closed. Let me tell you something right now. You just have to understand that there's a God who can and will, and He has never, ever failed you at all. The Bible says in Psalm 34:1, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. That's what makes me want to have the right attitude of gratitude. Knowing that no matter what I go through, my testimony will speak of God's delivering power. Tonight I stand before you delivered. Delivered of addictions. Delivered of alcohol. Delivered of a life of violence. Delivered of a life of fear. Delivered of a life of insecurity. Delivered of all these things that were there because Jesus Christ knocked on the door of my heart. I answered the door. He said, I'd like to come in and have supper. And I said, come on in. And I saw Him come in. And praise God, the supper He brought was the best food I've ever eaten. I tasted of the Lord. And I saw that He was good. Praise God. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. And so your testimony and what God's delivering power, your steps will be a confidence in bold. Hebrews 4:16, where we can boldly enter into the throne room of grace. You know, I think Christians should walk bold. I think Christians should walk with their heads up and their shoulders back. I think that we have to sometimes repeat to ourselves that He is the lifter of our chin and He is the shield about us. Praise God. He's the one that lifts up our head. He's the one that shields around. He's the bulwark, the Bible says, that faileth not. Amen. He surrounds us and nothing can ever, ever get into us. Because the Lord is watching over us. Praise God. The devil had to ask God if he could get to Job. And God said, go ahead, I'll permit you. That's the only reason he got to Job, is God gave him permission. Let me tell you something. You got to start believing God. You got to start believing God. I pray angels around this church all the time. I pray layers of God's love over this church, around property, around your home, around your lives, your kids' lives. You know, you think that the prayer's not going up for your children. My Lord, I'm praying every day for your children. I'm confessing their names before God. I'm speaking God will bless them and help them, calling down the angels of the Lord of strength and valor with swords and fiery chariots to defeat and ward off every physical evil and every spiritual evil that may attack your household. My Lord, you got to know that prayer will move God's hand and He'll bring into your life a boldness that will cause actions that will cause eternal results. Good and faithful servant. That's what God says. Eternal results. Welcome into my heart. Welcome in, my good and faithful servant. Enter now into the joy of the Lord. Praise God. How exciting that is. You know, I think we have to realize that this isn't what it's all about. One day, you and I are going to walk into a place called heaven. I hope we recognize it, because it's going to be different. I said that facetiously because I think some people don't recognize they're on their way. They're on a road towards glory. I see some people acting like they're on a road towards hell. Let me tell you something. Hell's over with. Heaven's on the map. Praise God. And we have to understand that He is willing and He is ready and He is desiring to bless you, bless your family, that answer the desires of your heart and supply your every need according to the riches in Christ Jesus. Praise God. He is ready to supply it. And by the way, I want to remind you, you can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens you. Praise God. You can do it. You can pray incessantly. You can rejoice always. And you can give thanks, for this is the will of God for you in and by Christ Jesus. You have all these promises of God and they belong to you. Praise God. They're ours together, but you can embrace each one individually. Your positive proclamation will cause indoctrination. In other words, by you speaking positive things about God, other people will see it and they'll be mentored and coached. No one has ever asked me to mentor them because they knew that I would give them negative input. No one has ever come to me and said, "Hey, I hear you're a really great negative coach." No, they come and they say, "You know, Pastor, would you mentor me? I need a spiritual father. I need someone to help me." I get phone calls all the time from people. They don't attend here. You don't know them. Calling me, they have to go into decisions the next day. How do I handle this? What do I do? I got this I have to deal with. Can you help me? And you know, God gives wisdom for these kind of things. I've had corporate presidents call me on the phone that aren't even saved to say to me, "I have a decision I need to make. I just need your input. I know you're a man of God. I know I don't go to church, but I want to hear what God may have to say about this situation." Let me tell you, no one calls someone that's negative unless they want to be negative. And sometimes you get negative phone calls. And you know how you get off a negative phone call? You say something positive. Your pleasant attitude will produce peaceful surroundings. You know, you can create your atmosphere. You can be all bummed out and everybody around you is going to be bummed out. Or you can smile and everybody else is going to smile. Try it sometime. Come into church and smile. Every time everybody looking at you, just smile. And they're either going to smile or they're going to go sit somewhere else, you know. But smile. It's a good thing. Your teeth want to be known. Amen. And you know, they just want people to see them. And then your position of gratitude will be catching and influential. You know, people catch a good attitude. It's almost like, you know, wow, that person makes me feel good. Wow, that's okay. I feel encouraged, you know. I've never got a phone call from anybody that said, "Would you discourage me?" I've never seen anybody that's hungry come up to me and say, "Don't feed me." I've never had anybody come up and say, "Don't bless me. I don't want to be blessed." I have had demonic powers come to me and say, "Don't say anything." I've walked down the street and I've been in the car at lights. I've had people stop knowing who I am. I don't know them. They know who I am, turn and say something very evil, demonic to me, and turn and keep walking. Because they're possessed. And the enemy of the soul recognizes the power of God within me, and they want to say something and keep going. And one time I rolled down my window and I said, "Hey, devil!" And the guy stopped and turned towards me. I said, "You need to just not say anything to me anymore, or I'm going to cast you away." And he just turned and ran. Praise God. Let me tell you something right now. The enemy of our soul, he wants to discourage you, but the power of God, the love of God, the mercies of God will want to encourage you 24/7, 7 days a week, every month of the year, every year of a generation, every generation.
of a centennial and every centennial of a millennium. Believe me, he wants to bless you. He wants to caress you. He wants to encourage you. And he wants you to know that the eternal God, our Father, will never leave you nor forsake you. He will abide in you and surround you with his love. His mercy will endure forever. He will not lead you away from him, but he will lead you toward him. He will be with you every step of the way. He reaches down and he pulls us up and out and sets you on and puts you in and puts a place, a song in your heart, blesses you forevermore. That's what God does. He knows what he's doing. If he stepped in the door right now, how would you feel? Would you recognize him? I was thinking the other day, I'm trying to build a new sermon on some thoughts, but I thought about that the other day. If God walked in, who would recognize him? If Jesus happened to be with you on the road to San Pablo, not Emmaus, but to San Pablo, would you recognize him? Sometimes God sends people by so you could recognize that he knows who you are. And tonight I want to just encourage you. God wants to bless your coming out and going in. He wants to bless every part of your life. He wants you to be encouraged in everything that's holy before him. He wants you to walk in his marvelous light and show forth his praises, that others will see him and rejoice in his presence and his knowledge.